The old phrase is, get up and go. Get up and go. And it's not so much a charge or an instruction to someone else, but it's a description. A description of a person. Ah, that guy over there, he's got get up and go. Or she's got get up and go. Don't know if they use that much anymore, but it was used all the time when I was younger. It describes somebody's energy level. It describes somebody's drive. It had to do with their drive. It had to do with their motivation. It had to do with, you know, maybe their life force. Or they'd say, well, that guy, or that girl, that guy's got a motor. He's got a motor. He's got to get up and go. This morning I want to ask, how is your get up and go? Not the directive, but the description. How is your get up and go? We heard this lesson from Acts chapter 8. I'm going to read through the four verses in 26 through 30. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, to the way that goes down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and he went. And behold, there was a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who was in charge of all the money. He came to Jerusalem to worship. Was returning, he sits in his chariot, and he's reading his Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto him, Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. And so Philip ran. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this passage and the other passages. We thank you, Lord, for the setting of this narrative. It comes after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It comes on the heel of Pentecost, where the Spirit is poured out. And so we see here this angel of the Lord giving this directive to get up and go. We hear of the Spirit coming and speaking to Philip and challenging him to arise and to join himself to this chariot. Father, surely you have given us directives as well. Directives from our Lord. Directives from your Spirit. So help us, Father, not only to know these directives and to heed them, but Father, we pray that get up and go would really be descriptive of what we have because of you. Lord, because of the bounty of the life that you have filled us with, because of the abundance of the Spirit that's been poured out upon us, help us to be described as those who spiritually have get up and go. We pray that you would make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. When I ask how is your get up and go, I'm really asking two things. And I am talking not about, you know, your energy level at the gym or in the garden or whatever it is around the house you do. I'm talking about your spiritual get up and go. Your motor. When I ask you about how is your get up and go, I'm really asking two things. One is, what level is your get up and go? Is it high or is it low? What level? That's one thing I'm asking. How is your get up and go? High or low? And then secondly, when I say, how is your get up and go? It's, how does it come to be? How is it you have it or don't have it? Where does it come from? How does one have get up and go? But first, whatever this thing is, that get up and go is, whatever it is, Philip certainly had it. Philip had this thing we call get up and go. And again, we're talking about spiritual get up and go. I want us to take a look at the New Revised Standard Version here. We had a slide made up here, and this is just a segment of it here. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, get up and go. Sound familiar? That's where I get that title from. The old King James says, arise and go, or something like that. The angel says to him, get up and go. What's the very next verse say? So he got up and went, displaying that he had get up and go. Not only that he had received the directive, but it was descriptive of him. The directive was get up and go. The description of him is that he had get up and go. So he got up and went. And then there's a couplet a little bit farther on. And we might say that verses 26 and 27 with the angel of the Lord are about the idea that Jesus is Lord. And he's resurrected from the dead. And that gave get up and go. But we come to the second couplet here in verse 28. It says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go. And what does verse 30 say? So Philip ran. Again, a description as well as a directive. Directive came from the Spirit, and the description followed. He had get up and go. He ran with energy. He was motivated. He had fuel. Philip had get up and go. He had fuel. He was fueled. And so, you know, we have to come back and we say, where does he get this fuel from? What is this fuel that he had that he ran? And I thought, you know what, Pastor Jim, you already showed yourself to be pretty old, you know, talking about this saying that no one uses anymore, get up and go. Why not show my age a little farther? I thought to myself, you know what I ought to do? I ought to call this sermon Philip's Petroleum. Some of you may have heard of Philip's Petroleum, right? Who are we talking about? Philip. What did he have? Energy. Right? Philip's Petroleum. He had fuel. It's a pretty good sermon title for this. Philip's Petroleum. What petroleum do you have? What energy do you have? What's fueling you? Some of you old timers may have recognized that name, Phillips Petroleum. It's the parent older company of Phillips 66, which is really still around somewhat. And we hear a little bit about Chevron today, which is another, you know, as these businesses come and they come and go and they merge and unmerge and all of these name changes. But I said, I can't name the sermon that. Petroleum? That doesn't sound very green, does it? Doesn't go with our culture. We have to have green energy here. We can't talk about petroleum. Fossil fuels, are you kidding me? Phillips Petroleum would be a decent title for this sermon, but besides the whole green factor here, I'm not here to talk about Philip. And the energy that he had, or the get up and go that he had. So the better title is, how is your get up and go? How is your get up and go? Not here to talk about that. Your get up and go. Is it high? Is it low? Is it high? Is it low towards the things of God? And again, I'm not asking you if you can go out and run a marathon anymore or do an Ironman or anything like that. I'm asking you about your response to the directive of God in your life to get up and go. Each week we close the service, go ye therefore into all the world. And is it descriptive? Would it be said of you, so he or she went? Would it be descriptive of you to say, so he or she ran? Is it high? Is it low towards the things of God? You know, there are two things in the rearview mirror behind this passage here, at least in the historical sense. And these things are both in the rearview mirror in the historical sense for us as well. Right? There is Pentecost, which is behind this. Pentecost takes place in chapter 2. And the clear directive, one of them comes from the Spirit. Pentecost was about the coming of the Spirit. And also behind this, and historically in the rearview mirror, there was the resurrection. A good indication that Philip really, really had spiritual get up and go is the fact that he ran. As it says in verse 30 there. Many, many, many years ago, I coined run as a contraction of the resurrection. And it's not a bad one. Both words start with R, right? Resurrection and run. Both of them end with an N. And you are right in the middle of both of them. And if you've been raised with Jesus Christ, you will run. Because you is in the middle of resurrection and you is in the middle of run. On resurrection morning, I don't know if you noted this, but there was lots of running going on. It was not about lollygalling around. That's probably an old word too that you youngins haven't ever heard of. A lot of running around. I can show you a whole bunch of them. I'm just going to touch on a few of them. We could find this one in 1 John in the early verses of John 20. But let's go to Matthew 28, 8 first. We'll see that one. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. These were the women, particularly Mary Magdalene, who shows up in John chapter 20. She is running on resurrection morning. She had get up and go because of the resurrection. And then in John chapter 20 and verse 4, it wasn't just her. When she came and talked with the other disciples, they ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. So Peter and John are now running, and one ran faster than the other. So the issue is this about your get up and go. You know what? You may have some get up and go, but there are others. Somebody's going to have more than you, okay? And that's okay. But everybody had get up and go. Everybody had get up and go. John outran Peter. But Peter also had get up and go. Peter ran. Of course, these references so far here have been literal. And there are other references in the Bible that some of them are literal and some of them are figurative. Again, I don't expect too many of us to be those who actually run physical marathons. So some of them are literal, some of them are figurative. How about Psalm 18 and 29? This is David here. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. Okay? I think this is a literal reference, is the idea that God gave David the energy to get up and go, to actually run through a troop? How about Psalm 119 and verse 32? I will run the way of thy commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. What a description that is of the Christian. Again, I can go back to my story about Grinch, right? The Grinch had a heart too small, right? A Christian is someone whose heart's been enlarged by God. His heart is bursting. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. That's the Christian's experience. And here the psalmist is saying, I will run the way of thy commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. The idea is, Christians are those who end up having get up and go. I will run the way of thy commandments. How much spiritual get up and go do you have about the commandments of God, the directives of God in your life? These signal not only a high energy of get, a high level rather of get up and go, but they also point to the sourcing of the get up and go. The sourcing, not only the level of get up and go, but the sourcing. How do we have spiritual get up and go? Where does it come from? I want you to look at these two verses and we'll put them side by side this time. For by thee I have run through a troop. By my God, it's up. This sourcing is from without. We're not talking about your willpower here. We're not talking about your athleticism here in terms of a marathon or those kind of things. When we're talking about this spiritual get up and go here, we are talking about a sourcing that comes outside of you. The Psalms are clear about this. The other passages we're going to see are going to be clear about this as well. For by thee, by God, I have run through a troop. By my God, I have leaped over the wall. Then we come to Psalm, the same verse here, verse 32 of Psalm 119. I will run the way of commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. It doesn't happen until God does that. But I'm trusting that this audience is an audience of people who God has done that for. God's given you that enlarged heart. You are like the Grinch on Christmas morning. Your heart has grown 3 more sizes. And so you can run with energy and life because of what God has done. Do you know what we're talking about when we talk about these two verses here and this idea of sourcing? We're talking about John 15. I am the vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Look at John 15 and 5. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me, I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, or apart from me, you can do nothing. And again, there's a whole bunch of things whereby we in the physical realm may be able to say that, you know, we're doing this in our own strength or something. And, you know, maybe you can lift 500 pounds. Well, good for you physically here. But we do nothing spiritually without Christ. Again, not a little bit of something. Nothing. No thing. Apart from him, without me, we do nothing. This is John 15:4, the prior verse. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot. This is not a word of permission. It's a word of ability. You do not have the ability. You don't have the faculty. You don't have the resources. You don't have the fuel. As the branch cannot, not able to, bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you. Meaning you cannot either, unless you're abiding in him. Our sourcing is from above. That's why Jesus opens this passage in John 15:1. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. All this fuel comes from him. All of it. So no wonder on these directives here, when Philip is responding to the angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord is giving him this fuel, the Spirit is giving him this fuel to do these things. And his get up and go is completely from God, by way of directive and by way of sourcing and supply. God is the one who is above, who now dwells within. Abide in me, and I in you. And you know when I spoke about Phillips Petroleum there, that old fossil fuel company there? Phillips Petroleum was not named after the disciple Philip. It was named after the Philip brothers. The Phillips brothers, who were suppliers. They were the source of the fossil fuel, the gas and the oil. That's what Phillips brothers was all about. Not this disciple. The supply and sourcing of any get up and go that we can ever even hope to have is the person of Jesus Christ. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And the love of God given through Jesus to us. Love is what brings spiritual get up and go. And, you know, on Wednesday or Thursday night when we were praying here, we talked quite a bit about love and how, you know, love in our culture, you know, love wins, right? It's just eros. It's just emotion and sexual response. And that's how we think of love. But the love that the Bible talks about speaks about this thing called purity and holiness. And love incorporates God's law. And there's order there. Love brings spiritual get up and go to us. Love. Love alone brings spiritual get up and go to us. Jesus is speaking to us in John 15, and we understand agriculture, we understand plant life. Plants need carbon dioxide. Without carbon dioxide, the plant's going to die. We understand animals. Animals need oxygen. Humans are animals. We need oxygen, but we need more than that if we're going to fulfill any of this. For humans, we need love. There's that old song from who knows how many decades ago. Love is like oxygen. Well, yeah, it is. If you don't get enough, you're going to die. And when you have your full, it makes you high. High in the sense that you have get up and go. Love is like oxygen. Does love really give us get up and go? Boy, you know, I mean, books have been written about this, right? Right? Five love languages. How do people receive love? And love is the oxygen tank that enables people to go forward. And so they break it up into all these different categories that people can receive and get their tank full so that they can really function and they can thrive and they can have get up and go in their life. Does love really give get up and go? You know, one of the great love stories in all of the Bible is the Song of Solomon. Let me show you how that book opens. Draw me, and we will run after thee. The book opens, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. All this love stuff. Find some people in love, and you will see people who have get up and go. They have oxygen in their life. They have energy in their life. Draw me after thee. We will run after thee. It's written in the definitive. It will happen. It's not, if God loves me, maybe I'll have some get up and go. I might have some get up and go. When we really claim this love of God for ourselves and really receive it, we will run. No questions asked. Not a doubt about it. Draw me. We will run. We will be like Philip. We will answer the directive. And we will answer the directive in a way that is descriptive of someone who has get up and go. Draw me. We will run. You know, that's the very same book, and it's a book about, it's a picture of Christ and the church, for sure. We don't want to miss that, because that's where our real application point is. But the Song of Solomon really is a book about a man and a woman and their love between each other. Draw me after thee, and we will run. And then all through the book, there's these wonderful sensations and experiences of love. And the book ends up ending with this whole idea that they are skipping upon the mountaintops. How'd you like to live like that? Well, that's what love does. That's what love does. Do you have this? Is the depiction of your spiritual life that you're skipping upon the mountains? Is the description of your life that, you know, when the Spirit says, you know, go here, you got up and went? Is the description of your life such that go join yourself to this? So he ran. Do you have this? Brothers and sisters, the Bible is pretty clear that this is our inheritance. And if we're lacking it in any way, shape, or form here, the sourcing is not here. It's not navel gazing, looking in your belly button, looking at your heart. It's running to God and cleaving to Him because He is the vine. And you need to abide in Him. And we cannot produce this stuff in ourselves, but if we're going to get it, we're going to get it from Him and Him alone. And so we run to Him and we cleave to Him. I asked the question, does love really give get up and go? And the answer definitively is yes, love gives get up and go. And guess what? We must remember the sourcing in 1 John 4. We had this read for us, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. You know, pretty soon you start talking to this and they say, oh, you know, I know this stuff and I'm just not even hearing these words anymore. And, you know, God bless Han Solo, you know, and you fall off to sleep when you read this because you know it so well. It seems to be saying the same thing over and over again. Verse 8, he that loves not knows not God. And then we hear this, for God is love. And again, in our culture, we just think of Eros, we think of romantic love, we think of sexual love. But God is love. And love is the oxygen that will give you get up and go. And so He is the source. He's the source and He's the supply. You know, this whole thing here about, you know, my Father is the vine dresser. It's kind of like the conduit here. Jesus is the conduit. It all comes from God. It doesn't come anywhere else. Our culture is screaming for love, and we think that, well, if we have the right politician or the right policy, that somehow we're all going to have this energy and life and we're going to be skipping on the mountains. None of that is true. It's all empty. And by the way, when Jesus says, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser, the background of that is an Old Testament passage in the book of Hosea where it says that Israel is an empty vine. There was nothing to be found there. There was no life. There was no energy, no petroleum, no get up and go coming from it. And it says about Israel that, you know, they had all this religiosity that was apparent. And they had a political structure that was massive. And the King James says it made for handsome images. It all looked good from the outside. So when Jesus comes on the scene and He says, I am the true vine, He's comparing and contrasting it to Israel that was the empty vine. And I submit to you that much of what we find in our culture, where we go looking for love, is an empty vine. Love is not mere eros or emotion, but holiness, purity, law, order, wholeness. Love is not a $600 stimulus check. How is your get up and go? And where are we looking to find it? How is your get up and go, and how does one have it? The source and the supply is God. Apart from Him, we die. In union with Him, He makes us high. He gives us that get up and go that is descriptive of Philip and so many others in the Scripture. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank You for this reminder about the resurrection. about running. This reminder about Pentecost. This reminder about your spirit. This reminder about the fact that these gifts have been bestowed unto us and we are the inheritors, the benefactor of these. We thank you, Lord, for the ascension, that because Jesus went away, he sent this endowment of the Spirit down upon us. Father, we thank you that we can live these lives of get up and go. Father, even in our advanced age when our bodies are hurting, our bodies are falling apart, Father, perhaps there are things that physically we don't have much to do, nor are there things physically that we can do any longer. We still have spiritual get up and go. Because these are fueled by you. Father, we pray that you would help us. We give you thanks for these things. In the name of Jesus, amen.